Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
You know, very often the last thing that people say sometimes are the most important things. Do you believe that? I actually looked on the website the other week and the last thing that people said before they died. And I decided after about 20 minutes not to look anymore because it was so depressing. It was so terrible. That people, and some of the, most of these were famous people, the things that they wrote before they died, some of them were completely deceived, so they believed that everything was going to be okay when it wasn't. Some of them didn't think anything was going to happen, that it was just into the hole in the ground and that was it, lights out, that's the end. They were wrong as well. And I only read two that actually were very good, and they were believers, they were born again. Things that they said, people, you know, things that people say before they died. But you know, Jesus said some important things before he died, but he also said some very important things after he rose again, before he went back to heaven, didn't he? And we're going to just focus on that this morning, the last thing that Jesus said. I don't know about you, but often when I was a boy, the last thing that my mum would say to me before I went to bed was, don't forget to brush your teeth. Or husbands, do you ever have your wife say, don't forget to... Husbands, do you have your wife say that to you? Don't forget to bring that milk home when you come home. And then you walk through the door and you think, blow, the one thing I forgot to, I remembered everything else, but I forgot to bring the milk. The last thing that people say is very, very important. And the last thing that Jesus said is really, really important. So let's go to Mark's Gospel and chapter 16. Are you all with me? Mark 16, the last things that Jesus said before he went back to heaven. And we're going to bring this, we're going to read at verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world. What did he say? And preach the what? The gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. To every creature. Well, every person. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's someone here with a real issue in your back. I felt it was right the way down the whole back, right in the center. And I believe that this morning Jesus will heal you right now. So if that's for you today, take it. Please let me know as well. But just receive your healing right now, right down your back. God wants to completely release you of all pain in your back today. Just receive it. He wants to heal it right now. And they lay hands on it and they will recover. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down. That's a good, isn't it? Sat down to reign at the right hand of God. And they went out. He sat down. They went out. Just say it with me. He sat down. They went out. He sat down. They went out. Say it again. He sat down. They went out. Very important. See, he sat down, and sometimes we sit down as well. We're not supposed to. We're actually supposed to go out. He sat down. They went out, because it's our turn to do the work now. And it says that he sat down, they went out and preached everywhere, proclaimed everywhere, the Lord working with them. Listen to that. The Lord working with them. That is amazing, that God would want to work with me. Most of the time it's about us working with him, and there's a right place for that. It's all about working with him. But actually in this scripture it says that, and he worked with them. He worked with them because they were about his work. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Go and preach the gospel. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Sharing the good news of Jesus. Acts, chapter 1. This is the last things that Jesus said. And let's go to verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to, what does it say there? Wait. Just turn to someone and say, wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the king to Israel? And he said to me, it's not for you to know times or seasons, but you shall receive power. Just say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what?
Witnesses.
Just say witnesses. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Horsham, Crawley, Sussex, yeah, Worthing, yeah, England, all the world. We are to be his witnesses. So Jesus is reminding the disciples before he went back, these were the last things he said, I want you to preach the gospel. How many of you, I'm not asking you to answer this, actually in your heart and in your thinking, that when you get up in the morning, you think, who can I reach with the gospel today? I wonder how many of us actually live our lives daily in our, you know, and that includes that's being at home, that's going out, that's going to work, in our community where we live, in the life of the church. Do we have in our hearts something running that runs above everything else? Or is it one of those things that we know is something that we should do, it's something that we add on to do, it's something as an addendum really, rather than it being something that is right at the top of the pile, that in all that I do, the last things that Jesus said were for all of us for the whole of our lives. They were the last things he said, and he said, by the way, I'll give you the power to do it, but these are the two most important things. So with respect to the small groups, and we need them in the church, they're not the most important thing. The most important thing isn't your job. Isn't your family. I say that carefully when I say this. Your family is very important. Your marriage, very important. But you know the most important thing is the last things that Jesus said. And the last things that he said was, go into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus. And whatever sphere of influence you have, use it to the maximum. Use it under the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't do it until you know you've been baptized with his power. And we'd be praying for people if you'd like to receive that this morning, so that you're empowered to be his witness. I know when I received his power to witness, that's what I started to do. My life was completely blown apart when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in his love. That's what his power is. It's his love. And when his love baptized me, I had this incredible love for people that I hadn't had before. I had this incredible love for the word. You know how it goes when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's been running in me ever since. It's part of really being a disciple. Jesus wants us to share the gospel wherever we go. Make the most of every opportunity that we have. Do you agree? Making the most of every opportunity. The fact is, I don't always make the most of every opportunity. But what Jesus said is, I want you to make the most of every opportunity for the kingdom's sake. And that means that when we see people, and let's face it, most of the time we're seeing people, apart from on a Sunday morning probably, that are unsaved, that don't know Jesus yet. And so Jesus said, the last thing I said to you before I went is the most important thing. You need to remember it, because that's what you need to be doing, and that's what needs to be at the top of the pile in your head, in your thinking, in your heart. It needs to be this: I must preach the gospel. I must make disciples. That's basically what Jesus left us to do. And it needs to be at the top of everything in our marriages, in our families, in our work life, in our church life. That needs to be the foundation of everything. And I'm not convinced that in the church, in the Western world, that it is. In fact, I suggest that it isn't. And when I was at Faith Camp, I was asked to do something to do with disciples, you know, making disciples. And I began to seek God and pray and ask the Lord what he wanted me to do at Faith Camp many weeks before Faith Camp. And as I prayed, I had one of those sinking feelings. I thought I knew what I was going to do. And when I knelt down and prayed, I really felt God's really dropped me in it this time, because I felt convicted. That's the best way to describe it. I felt really convicted, not in a bad way, but in a good way, that I wasn't doing everything that Jesus had told me to do based on this what we call the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel and go and make disciples. And so it set me really to seek him some more personally before I ever did anything at Faith Camp. And I began to understand that although there are things running in me, we would give lip service. All of us here today, I'm sure, would give lip service to, well, of course, we must preach the gospel. We must make disciples. That's what we're here as a church to do. But are we really doing it? That's my question. Am I really doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit? Am I really putting myself into that place? And is it really the number one thing above everything else, apart from obviously meeting with Jesus every day, is it the number one thing that I'm thinking about all the time? How can I reach people? How can we lead them to Christ? Sharing the gospel with people, seeing them get saved and born again, and then actually seeing them made into disciples. That needs to be running deep inside our spirits. Do you agree? Are you excited? See, God wants to put such a passion on the inside of us. It's like a fire. How many of you like standing in front of a fire, you know, in the winter time? I love those log burners, you know, that glow red. But you know, God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be like a roaring fire. But this fire is about Jesus, and it's about his kingdom, and it's about seeing people get born again. It's about seeing people repenting and turning to him in faith and being saved. And then it's also about making them into disciples. And Jesus doesn't want us to look at this as a theoretical, this is what we ought to do. He actually wants us to see that, no, this is a command, but he wants us to have a passion to do it. And I believe that's where it needs to change in the church, is we don't have the passion that Jesus had, and so there needs to be some transfer of passion here. Jesus wants to exchange his passion and take yours out of the way and replace it with his, so that your passion becomes his passion. And I guarantee you, if you let this message soak into your spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin to soak you with his passion, with his zeal, with his fire, with his desire to see people get saved and to begin to have his compassion for people that don't know him, begin to weep and cry for people who don't know him. But the fact is that they will go to hell if they don't get saved. And so we need to be praying in that way. We need to be living in that way, have such a compassion for people to be saved, and then to lead them as disciples. Let's go to Luke 14. Can you come with me there? Luke 14. I've got such a full message that I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to fit it in this morning. So I'm just going to go as far as I can go this morning within the restraints of time. But Luke 14 and verse 16. And he said to him, this is Jesus, a certain man had a great supper and invited many. Sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought a Ferguson tractor and a load of other machinery. I'm going to test them and I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife. That's a good one, isn't it? And therefore I definitely cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Do you see the passion that God has for his house to be filled? For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. What's the Lord saying to us? He's saying to us, he wants us to have the same passion, really, that the master of the house had. And that we must compel people to come into the kingdom. Compel them by the Holy Spirit, of course, not by force, not by human force, but compelled by the strength of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with people, to compel them to come to know Jesus. You know, right now, I'll just share a little bit of personal story. God has convicted me about this for a number of months, actually. And we started, actually, before this period of time, we started in Crawley. I started a group called On Fire. And in this, I called it On Fire. It's a prophetic statement because none of the men were saved. So I called it On Fire. And we started having it in a fellow's house who's part of the church in Crawley. And we began to meet there. And the reason I invited four of them came, two decided not to come, four came for most of those weeks. And the whole idea was to share the gospel of Jesus with them And so that's what I did. For 4 weeks, we shared the gospel. We went into the Word of God. We made it real simple and clear what it really meant to be saved. At the end of those 4 weeks, all four were still there. That was a good sign. The second sign was that one of them stood up while I was talking, and he said, I confess. He said, Paul, I'm confessing today that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. I'm confessing that Jesus Christ is my Lord because I believe it. I believe it now. Another one did likewise, did the same thing. And so we've maintained this relationship, this contact, really, this relationship with these men. I've now got two men from Horsham who are in the same boat. They're not saved yet, but they're about to be saved. And we shared the gospel with them, invested some time with them to share what it really means to know Jesus. And this takes time. It takes energy. It means you're not doing some of the things you'd like to do. But by devoting time to this, I guarantee you'll be rewarded. And the reward is seeing people get born again and saved and become disciples. So I met up with one of these fellows the other week in Horsham, and we had a coffee together and shared about an hour together, just talk about what it really meant to be saved. Now he's hungry, and both of these men are now reading. One has got the Truth edition of the New Testament, he's reading through. The other one's reading, I think, John's Gospel in another version, a modern version. But God's doing a work in them. Six men. So this On Fire group, it's part of the small groups that we run. When we start this group again, it's going to progress. So that I believe in this next season of time, all six will repent and get saved. And then the real work will start. Because that's when they need to be made into disciples. So six men. Now you just imagine, you just take one person. Think of one person that you long to be saved. We have a whole church here. We've got so much in Kingdom Faith. We've got so much facilities, anointing, giftings of all kinds of people and things that we have. And you bring one person into your orbit of your Christian life to share the gospel with them and invest time with them. You could bring them into the life of the church. You could bring them to a small group. But you know, with these people that we're witnessing to, if you invest your prayer life, start praying for people and investing time with them, I guarantee if God's put them on your heart, you'll want them to be saved. That's why he's put them on your heart. Not to tease you to the fact that, well, are they ever going to give their life to Jesus? But actually, they'll give their life to him if you invest the time, the faith, and the energy to see this was one of the last things that Jesus said. Go and preach the gospel, share the gospel with people, and make them into disciples. So the first part is that, is just to do that. It's to share the gospel with people so that they'll become disciples. And you imagine if everyone in Kingdom Faith, everybody in Kingdom Faith, took this seriously, in a year's time, how many would be saved? Because we can't save people. We can only do what he's commanded us to do under the power of his Spirit. But if we'll do what he has said, he made a promise, and we'll read about it in a minute, but he made a promise that he'll stay with us and his anointing will stay upon us. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says this. No, it doesn't say this. Yes, it does say this. I've got the wrong verse in front of me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. And he is very long-suffering, very patient with all of us. Not willing, this is the reason, not willing that any should perish. Had a conversation with someone the other day. We were talking about predestination. Does God plan for people to be saved and not to be saved? No. God plans for every person to be born again and saved. That's what he died on the cross for. His death on the cross was sufficient to cover every human being that has ever lived and will ever live. The fact is, he's given us a free will, and he will never cross that free will. Because no one gets saved by robot, do they? They get saved by the Holy Spirit's conviction and by faith and their response, and that's how you and I got saved. And it says here that Jesus is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amazing. All should come to repentance. So let me ask you a question. We're going to just make this the halfway mark, okay? So we just stop just here just to reflect on what God's saying to us this morning. My question is, start where you are. Just start right where you are this morning. We haven't got to do a great big leap. Start where you are today. Think about what you're doing today in your sphere of life. And just add into it the word of God now that we've just heard. And so the question is, where are you? Actually, God said that to Adam in the garden, didn't he? Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where he was. But he wanted Adam to get honest and true and real about where he really was. The fact that he sinned, he disobeyed God. And that honesty then brought about a change for Adam. And God was able to redeem him in that sense. And, you know, today, where are you in sharing the good news of Jesus with others? And that, I'm not saying this to condemn. I don't want anyone to feel condemned here today. I want everyone to be lifted up. Every one of us has the ability to share the good news of Jesus with our neighbours, with our relatives, some of our relatives the hardest, to share the good news with our work colleagues, with people where we live, to share the gospel with people we've never met before. God just puts us in situations where we can just talk to them. If you'll take the step of faith, and this is it, this is the same way you got saved, if you'll take the step of faith and make yourself available and believe God's word, he will do the rest. He will do the rest. I believe there's a great harvest waiting to be harvested in Kingdom Faith, let alone the whole church in Great Britain. There's a great harvest to be harvested, but that harvest won't come along unless we really believe what the word has said and take seriously the last things that Jesus said about, because it wasn't to just his disciples, it was to you, it was to me, it's to each one of us, to share the good news of Jesus. But not just to leave it at that place, but also, for most of us, it's about building relationship with people. And some people unusually get saved the first time you meet them, you share the gospel. That's unusual. Pray it happen more. But it's unusual. Usually people get saved because of relationship. That's why on the day of Pentecost, that incredible move of the Holy Spirit that came, there was such a community in Jerusalem. People knew people. And because of that, they saw such incredible change taking place in people's lives that they quickly responded and it spread like wildfire. It was incredible, the fire of God that came. God can do the same thing with us, with our lives, if we will share the gospel. So where are you with sharing the good news of Jesus? I just want to invite you to stand just for a moment, please. Just stand up. Just to respond, just this few minutes, just to respond. Just close your eyes. And Jesus says you can do it. Holy Spirit says you can do this. You can do this. And he sees you as a fruitful disciple this morning, of sharing the gospel and of living such a life as a disciple that others, when they see you, will be attracted to the Jesus Christ who lives in you. And just begin to speak to the Lord now. Just quietly speak to him and say, Lord, help. Because for most of us, I know I do this regularly. I regularly go out and preach the gospel, but I constantly depend upon the Holy Spirit because I know I can't do it. I know I need him. And so just ask him to help you today to, if you're not doing this, that this will become part of the way you think and part of the way that you live, that every day this becomes the top of the pile. I want to share the good news with someone today. Lord, here I am. I'm available to you. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Father, this morning, as we lift our hands to you, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will impress upon us in a fresh way today, not because we've heard this words hundreds of times before, but in a new way today, Lord. Holy Spirit, in 2014, on the 31st of August, you would do a new work inside of me. Come on, just pray that over your own life this morning. Lord, do a new work on the inside of me today. Change my thinking, Lord. Lord, restore faith, Lord. Quicken faith on the inside of me. I can do this. I can share the gospel, the good news of you, quite naturally and supernaturally with people. Lord, help me, I pray today, Father, help me. I make myself available to you, Lord, so that this commission you've given to me, the last thing that you said, I will walk in. And I offer myself up afresh to you today, Lord Jesus. I offer myself to you, Lord, that I will share the gospel with whoever comes into the orbit, the sphere of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I confess today, you're my Lord and my Saviour. Thank you, Lord, for your great commission. I will obey you. You've commanded me. I will walk in your commands. I will witness to the lost. I'm a fruitful disciple. I see people being drawn to you because I stepped out in faith. I thank you, Lord, for people being saved in the orbit of my life, in this church, and made into disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him praise and thanks, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you can sit down. I want to just share a little bit about being a disciple. And I realize that I'm just not going to have enough time to do this unless you like to stay till about 3 this afternoon. Maybe for another time. But my journey went a little bit like this. Brought up in a Christian home. Great parents. One of seven. Crammed into a small semi-detached house, 3 bedrooms. So the 4 of us boys, we shared one room together. So we had an amazing time in there. When we went to bed at night, the beds used to roll away like a nest of tables. That's the only way we could fit all 4 of us fit into the room. So they were rolled out at night, and in the morning they were rolled back. And in the middle, that's where we had pillow fights and all kinds of good things happened. About the age of 17, I gave my life to Jesus at 10 and a half because I was convicted that my life would be a waste of time if I didn't give my life to him. And he must have done something on that cross so amazing, I wanted to receive it. And so with tears, I asked Jesus to come into my life, and that was the beginning of my journey with him. And then about 16, I realized that there was something missing. And he was real to a point, but there was a lack of the power that we've been talking about. I was ashamed or afraid, really, to talk about Jesus to people at school, even though I was called Mr. Missionary for some reason. I was called Vicar at school, Bible Basher. I never carried a Bible around with me. But they knew I was a Christian, but I was fearful and self-conscious. Lots of things that you have if you're not filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of me in there. And about 16, I had this incredible hunger, desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had such a desire. I didn't know that's what it was. I just had an amazing hunger for Jesus. And I used to open my bedroom window, try not to make too much noise about it, while my brothers were asleep, and look up into the starry sky and begin to talk to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I just really want to know you. I don't know you enough. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to know you like this. And I remember the first night this happened. It was around about 10 o'clock at night. And it was around about 10 o'clock. And I was talking to Jesus like this, and this love started to come upon me. I just started feeling these waves of love coming. And as this happened, it felt like when I finished, I'd been doing it for about half an hour, and it was good. When I looked at my clock, or my watch, whatever it was, I'd been at it for about 2.5 hours, and it had just gone like that. So, and I went to sleep in this love. Well, the next night, before I went to bed, I went through the same thing. I thought, I'm going to have some more of this. As I opened the window, looked up to the sky, and started talking to Jesus. Jesus, I really want to know you, I really want to know you. I really want to know you. And these waves of love started to come. Now, this went on night after night, and I can't remember, to be honest with you, how many nights it was, but it was a number of nights. And so during that wave of nights, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that's what it was. There wasn't a lot of teaching about that then. In the church that I went to, there was probably some teaching against it. And I got filled with this incredible love and power of God that completely was changing me. And with it came two things, a strong, strong passion for the church, for the church to become everything that Jesus called the church to be in the Bible, a strong desire for the Word of God, of course, the Bible, started reading it, just devouring it, eating it. And then the third thing was this desire to see people come to know Jesus the way I did. Those three things happened to me when I got baptized in the Spirit. And I started to follow Jesus. There was still something missing, though. And I realized that at about 18, 19, I connected with some really good friends. They were in another setup. They were connected with Youth with a Mission and another church. And we formed a real good friendship. And cut a very, very long story short, as a result of that friendship, I moved into a community house with them. It was a great thing to do for a few months. Lived as a community. And then we moved down to a place called Ramsgate. I lived in Ramsgate by the seaside. And during that time, I lived with this family, this Christian family, and we began started as a house church, really, in its beginnings. And this man discipled me. I didn't actually call it that at the time, but that's actually really what happened. I became accountable to my Christian life, was accountable to him. He wasn't telling me what to do. He was just exampling to me how to do it. He was living the life. He was living in the Word of God. He was living with faith. He loved his wife in the right way. He loved his family. And he wasn't perfect, and I knew that as well. But what he did was he shared his life with me. And basically, he trained and equipped me up to a certain point while I was with that family for 3 years. Interesting, 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, God said, I want you to go back, come back to live in this area. And then we started a church. I met Claire, my beautiful wife, who's here this morning. And we met, and about 18 months, 2 years after I moved back, we got married. And then we started a church not long after that. We did a lot of stuff, really, when we first got married. And becoming a disciple. So those 3 years, were for me, what some of the students get in the Bible college. It's just that it wasn't in the Bible college, it was another format. But basically what happened was, it's the same way that Jesus did it with his disciples. Someone else shared their life with me, exampled how to live, exampled what it meant to put Christ and his kingdom first, and it rubbed off onto me. And he wasn't afraid to tell me I was wrong. He wasn't afraid to correct me. He wasn't afraid to tell me, you're just wrong there. You're not ready to be married. This, I was about 19. He said, you're not ready to be married. You're immature. And basically just told me the truth about, you're not ready for this. You know, there's some things God has to do in your life before you get married. And that kind of thing. So he really, really helped me. Jesus made disciples. Do you agree with me? I'm now stuck because I don't know what to do. There's so many things I wanted to say, but let's just go to Matthew's Gospel 16, shall we? Let's look at just a few verses about what it really means to be a disciple. Well, in fact, let's just go to Matthew 28. Sorry about that. Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, because this is the other scripture, the other truth that Jesus, these are the words that Jesus spoke just before he went back to heaven. As well. Matthew 28 and verse 18. See, the trouble is, we know the Word of God. Those that have been around for a while, we know what the Word of God says. And that's a very dangerous place to be. It's actually better to not know the Word of God than to know it and not do it. We need to know the Word of God and do it. And it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples, just before he rose and literally went back, lifted off and went back to heaven. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, therefore, go. Just turn to someone and say, go. No, just say it with real force now. Go. Because this word, go, is a command. It wasn't an invitation. This is a command. Go under my authority. Yeah, that's very good. That was. And make disciples of all the people groups. All the nations and people groups of the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe to do all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What's the most important word here? Well, some people would say go. Well, it's not really. Go is that's the commission. That's the, well, if you don't go, you're definitely not going to do anything else. So it's important. But you know, the most important word there is make. You know, if you're a potter, you own a pottery, let's say I'm a potter and I go to, if I stay in bed in the morning, don't go to my pottery, my potter's house, that's no good, is it? So there's two things I need to do. Number one, I need to go. And number two, when I get to the pottery, I actually need to make something. And in the same way, Jesus said, go, that's very important. But the more important word here, the focus in this verse is make. Make, just say make. And Jesus called us to go and make disciples. Disciples don't just form on their own. That's why we have a weak church today in the West, is we're not making disciples the way that Jesus did. And so I hope if I don't do anything else, I'll at least stir you up to start looking at the scriptures and stir you up about what you're doing and what I'm doing and what we're doing as a church about really making disciples the way that Jesus did. This is good news, because Jesus had success with 12 men. In fact, well, one of them was a traitor, or was a betrayer, but he knew that as well. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to go and make disciples. So we've had the sharing of the gospel. That's important. That's an important part of it. Because if we don't share the gospel with people, if we don't share the good news with them, they can't be saved. So the first thing is they need to be saved so they can believe. But once they believe, we're in the church today, in the West, we have loads of bricks. We have piles and piles of bricks. It's like a building site. We have piles of bricks everywhere, but the house isn't really being built. Because we're not making disciples the way that Jesus did. If you go to a building site, it's okay to have a pile of bricks outside while the thing's being built, but they're not supposed to stay there. Those pile of bricks are supposed to be built into a house. And so the way Jesus builds the house, literally builds the church, is through disciple making. That's how he does it. And so this is the last thing that he said, go and preach the gospel and make disciples. That's your commission. And it wasn't just for the few. It wasn't just for the leaders. Now, it needs to be organized in the right kind of way and overseen by leadership. Of course it does. But, you know, it's a commission for the whole church. That's why the church in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, grew so phenomenally. The Holy Spirit's power, of course, but because they were all doing this. Because Jesus had trained those 12 men how to make disciples. Because he'd done it. He hadn't taken them through classes, although he had sat down with them many times and taught them the word of God. Of course he had. And we need all of that. But it's not just teaching. It's not just taking someone through like a discipleship course. Because I've written one. We've done that. And we should still do it. But what we really need to do is invest our life into somebody else's life, one-on-one or one-on-three or one in 12, whatever your capacity is. Jesus had the capacity to do that, and he had 72 others, didn't he? And an amazing capacity. But whatever our capacity is, and use that capacity to go and make disciples. Do you agree with me? I see the Kingdom Faith Church is coming to the greatest day that it's ever had. As we preach the gospel as a whole body now, as we learn to share the good news with people under the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing people being repentant, saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we see them coming to the life of the church, and in cooperation with leadership and everything else, the right way to do it, we see people being discipled as sons of God, made into disciples. You know what happens? You know, when Jesus was here, he had the 12. How did he do it? Well, he basically shared everything he had with them. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him work miracles. They heard him preach. They saw how he lived his life, how he believed the Father for his provisions. And he didn't just let them watch him, but he engaged them into what he was doing. And then he sent them out. And then they had a little faith report back time. How did it go? What happened? And Jesus trained them. So they learnt on the job, training on the job. And then finally he said, I'm going back to heaven now. This is your commission. Bye. Over to you. And the power of the Spirit was upon them to do the work. Now, the same Holy Spirit is here today. There's no lack. The same Holy Spirit is poured out today. We can receive as much as we want. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, of the Holy Spirit. It just depends how hungry you are for him. But if you want to be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, it's up to you. It really is. I remember God said to me once, I said, God, how far can I go? He said, as far as you like. How much more is it? As much as you like. That's the bigness of Jesus. That's the bigness of his kingdom. And so how much does he want to do through us? Well, as much as you really want, actually. If you really want to share the gospel, the good news, to see people get saved from hell and be saved in this life and for eternity, and it runs in your heart, you're going to do something about it. If you see the importance of disciple making, you're going to start, you'll have that running on the inside of you that you will want to go and make disciples. It will become a must, not a maybe. You imagine if all of Kingdom Faith was engaged in this, how many disciples we could have, bulging at the seams. Because the whole point of it is, I remember there was a guy that I used to share the gospel with. I knocked on his door one day. He answered the door. He was a Christian, but he wasn't walking with God. And I shared the gospel with him. He said, I'm already saved. And I just encouraged him back to God. A week later, he phoned me and he said, God's really spoke to me since you knocked on my door. I said, what's he been saying? He said, he's told me I've got to do what you're doing. Can I come and join you? So in a couple of weeks, he took his day off. He was his own boss running his own business. He decided to take half a day off and sow it into the kingdom. Do you know, as a result of doing that, and by the way, and he began to share the gospel, he came with me, and he learned how to do stuff. Today, he's witnessing everywhere he goes. He's doing more than I do in sharing the gospel with people and seeing them get saved. It's incredible. See, that's what disciple making is all about, is you, what you have rubs off onto somebody else and they begin to do it. And so it's one of those things where it goes right up like that. So we're not talking about just additions, but we have to start there. But it's multiplication. That's what God's interested in. And he wants us to engage in it. Do you agree? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew 16. Let's just go there. And I'm going to try and bring this into land in the next couple of minutes. So just bear with me. Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his self-life will lose it. But whoever loses his self-life for my sake will find life, his life, the life of Christ." John 15, verse 7, says this. "If you abide in me and my now words, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples." I tell you, God takes seriously our words, doesn't he? And it's important that today that as we pray in a few minutes, if you want to, you can, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. My desire is to lead more people to Christ. So that's what I'm going to pray. My desire is to see more people being made into disciples in the church and play my part in all of that. That's what I'm going to pray. If you desire it, if you ask the Lord this morning for this, he's going to start opening things up. Things are going to start happening for you. Does that make sense? If you ask with faith, God will start doing that today for you. And he wants you to be a fruitful disciple. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Verse 34 and 35 says this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Making disciples is all about love. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is all about love. Sharing the gospel of Jesus is all about love, because his love has so impacted my life, I have to, because other people need to have this love. I can't just keep it to myself. I've got to share it with other people. And also, making disciples is a thing of love. And if it has that love of Christ in it, the love that went to the cross, that died for me and rose again and is alive today, that love changes everything and everybody. It's changed your life. And it's that love that will make disciples. And it says in verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you don't have love for one another." Does it say that? It says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So love is the foundation of everything, the love of Christ. And they're the kind of disciples that he wants us to be, and they're the kind of disciples that he is asking us to make. I just want to show you this on the screen now, if Andrew's been able to do this, about knowing Christ, following him and making disciples. Very, very simple, really. Very simple. Here we go. Know Christ. In your knowing of Jesus, devote yourself fully to him in this next season so that these things that I've been speaking about will happen. Knowing Christ, knowing him, is all about the fact that he loves me. It's a love relationship. So deepen your relationship with him. The second thing is follow him. Follow him. Why do we follow him? Because we love him. It's all about love. And if we follow him, we're going to do the third thing, which is make disciples. It's a progression and it multiplies. Make disciples because we love others. It's all founded in love. Does it make sense? My prayer today is God kickstart us as a church in a new way. Do something fresh in my spirit, in my life, in my heart, Lord. Change the way that I think about the commission that you gave. Instead of thinking I know it, cause me to actually do it and to be engaged and to put it right at the top of everything else that I do. Amen. Everything else This is the number one thing that Jesus said before he went back to heaven. He said these words. So if they're the last things he said, they're the most important things that need to be working in our lives. Let's all stand. Let's just respond over the next couple of minutes. I realize that we're out of time, but let's just respond. Can we have the band up? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just be in faith this morning that if you're already doing some of this, that's excellent. God wants you to do more. In fact, God wants to do more through you. And he's going to enable you by his Holy Spirit in this next season of time. As we give ourselves for this gospel, to give ourselves to share the good news with people about Jesus and to make disciples. If anyone here this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do. And I'm going to invite you after the meeting, just come and talk to me, please. If you want to know how you can know him in your life, how he can forgive you and wash you clean of your sin and get rid of all the past, he can do it for you this morning. Please come and speak to me. But we're just going to worship him just for a few minutes and just give ourselves afresh to the Lord. What are you going to do? This is my question to you this morning. What are you going to do with this message? Because I didn't make this one up. This is what God gave me to speak this morning. What am I going to do with this message? Just ask yourself that question this morning. What am I going to do about this message? And don't just think about it and go out and have a coffee and let it disappear down in a cappuccino. But as you think about this question this morning, what am I going to do with this message? Write it down sometime today. This is what I'm going to do about this message. This is how I'm going to address it in my life. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help me, and he will. Let's worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.